I'm so happy you're listening to this, my friend. This is Natasha Bozilovich, public speaking coach and trainer. Can't wait to share this new episode with you.
Welcome back to Speak with Paula, my dear friends. Let me introduce my new fascinating guest, Joe Petnote. He's an executive coach and creator of the Star Scalability Method, helping business owners and leaders simplify complexity so their businesses can grow without requiring more of their time or constant involvement. Don't we all want that? And with over 25 years of experience, he's known for identifying the hidden gaps between what leaders say and what their teams actually hear. And so here, we talk all about communication presentations, and we definitely want to welcome you, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Natasha. I'm really looking forward to our conversation today.
Me too. We'll talk all about leadership and communication and all these interesting different aspects of communication. But tell us, how did you get into this idea of Star Scalability Method and this whole field that you're helping people in?
Yeah, so my background is a little unconventional for this space. I actually started my career, you know, about 25, 26 years ago, literally in the mailroom. I was the guy delivering inner office mail and worked my way all the way up to executive leadership in financial services firms and spent about, you know, 10 years getting into my first leadership role and then the next 15 or so in C-suite roles and director level roles. And what I started realizing over that time was that most businesses don't actually struggle because, you know, of the people. Like, they're not lazy, they're not lacking in talent. They struggle because the leaders think that they're being really clear, and they're not. There's a gap. Mm-hmm. There's a perception gap. And so now today, my work focuses on helping the business owners and leadership teams identify where that communication alignment and operational clarity are breaking down before it turns into the burnout, the bottlenecks, and the stress and the chaos.
Mm-hmm. That's perfect. So what did you find out? Where does it break down, actually? That's interesting.
So I think, you know, if we start at the top, right, I think a lot of leaders think that they have communication problems. And so they're trying to constantly say, we're going to be a better communicator, we're going to be more clear. But what they have is a clarity problem. And the reason for that, in what I have found, is that leaders speak with certain assumptions in mind, right? They assume that their team understands everything that they've already got in their head. But the teams are hearing it and interpreting it differently. And then, of course, they're experiencing things differently. I think every one of us out there has at some point had that experience where somebody has told us, this is going to solve all your problems, just do steps X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. But then we find out that steps X, Y, and Z don't always work perfectly, right? Like things happen, things come up, there's additional things that weren't considered. And that ambiguity ends up creating friction. Mm-hmm. So, you know, leaders go from a take ownership is their statement. And, you know, you might have one employee that thinks they're being empowered, another that hears they're being pressured, and another that hears that they're being abandoned and that the leader just is walking away from the project or from them. And so that's why I always say it really all goes back to the clarity and not just the communication.
The clarity of the message that they're trying to deliver, right, to the
exactly. So the operational clarity, the communication clarity, it's really about alignment in the communication as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is interesting because, you know, from the point of view of a leader, it's hard because people who you are communicating with, like you said, one person will hear it in one way, another person in another way. It really goes through the prism of their own understanding, their own traumas, maybe their experiences, things that they maybe have heard in either their families or their previous jobs. So for a leader to know that, it's almost impossible. And how can they really understand how to communicate with each person individually differently and actually make it clear and aligned?
Exactly. So, and when we talk about alignment, it also has to align with, you know, the vision of the company. And that's really what I'm getting down to is we can't know everything, to your point, about what other people have been through, and everybody processes their own experiences their own way. So we hear all the time about these, you know, emotionally intelligent leaders, and it always sounds so easy, right? Like, we hear all these steps of just do these five things or say these 10 questions and everything's going to be solved. But that's the whole point, is that there's too many solutions being implemented without first asking what's the problem. So asking the questions first, asking what the team is hearing, asking what they're interpreting is really the first and most basic step. But it really all this comes back to the confidence in the communication starts with ensuring that everybody's hearing it the way it's intended.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that's simple. Just ask them. Okay, so here's what I told you. Okay, like, what did you guys hear, right? So tell me, how did you understand it? And then basically you will see if they understood it right. Like, what did you hear from what I just told you?
Exactly. And then, of course, as leaders, you know, we do have extra responsibilities, right, when it comes to the communication process. Like, obviously, both the person speaking and listening have some responsibility there. But as leaders, I feel like we do have extra responsibility because we are, in fact, in charge of making sure people hear us correctly. Mm-hmm. And so when we go down that road and we explore that a little further, I think leaders need to be aware of the fact that they need to watch out for the nonverbal responses to some of those questions, like what you just said, because quite often people have been trained to just agree with leadership or regurgitate back what the leader said because it's safety for their job. That's what they think. But in reality, you have to watch for those nonverbal cues. You have to watch for the patterns in behavior. You have to watch for the person who used to speak up and no longer does.
Oh, yeah.
You have to watch for the person who didn't speak up but now does as well. You know, you have to watch for the good and the bad. You have to watch for change in dynamics. And that's what I mean when I say that leaders have extra responsibility. It's not just communicate your message out and try to be as clear as possible, but also watch for the results.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is actually a good point about patterns. Not something that I even focus on a lot. I do like to talk about communication, about nonverbal communication, those different cues. So that's a great tip. If you were to give a few practical tips also on nonverbal cues, like let's say a leader is in a meeting room and they're looking at their people, what do you think, like, how do we read the room? What do you want them to pay attention to, you know, from those nonverbals?
Well, I think the easiest answer there, of course, is the body language discussions that we've all seen and heard many, many times, right? Like when you watch how people's body language change as you speak. I think that's something we probably don't have to go too much into depth on because I think we've all heard it so many times, right? What I would say is watch who's giving another employee, you know, the side eye, for example. You know, when you've got two people that you know work well together and they work consistently together, watch to see if they look at one another while you're speaking about something. You know, those little things like that. And again, you don't necessarily need to call it out. It's not always a negative thing. Sometimes it's actually a very good thing. But you need to understand the tone of your message and watch for those cues and then have those conversations offline. You know, that's where you take somebody aside separately. You don't want to you know, make anybody feel like they have to be a robot. You know, if people realize you're watching their body language to that extent, they're going to change how they behave and you're going to get less visual and nonverbal cues. But if you handle it the right way and you say, you know, hey, I want to pull you aside, what were your thoughts on this? And the one question that a lot of leaders, I think, really miss out on is that they ask people if they agree or disagree or if they have any thoughts, but they don't say, what do you see could be a potential problem with this? Especially if they're making a change to a process or any kind of a reward system change or team dynamic change. Ask flat out. Know who your naysayers are on your team and say, what do you see could be a potential problem with this? They may actually have really good advice for you. And if not, you can at least nip it in the bud with any of their potential concerns. You know, it gives you a chance to know what's really on their mind.
Yeah. And as soon as you give them a chance to speak, to share their opinions, a lot of times, and I've had that experience being a trainer when I teach, and I see also, I read the room and I see that some people probably don't like it. And a lot of times I would do the same thing during the break. I would ask them and go in and ask what they would improve, or is there something that they, you know, don't like. But yes, as soon as people have a chance to just share and just get it out of their system, then it's suddenly they get on your side. And they change their attitude completely, because it's like now they own it. They become a part of it. And they were able to contribute a little bit to the change of the whole process.
Exactly. You know, because I think the real challenge is there that, you know, leaders are speaking from familiarity. And really, it doesn't matter what topic we're going on here. We could be talking about operational stuff. We could be talking about sales. We could be talking about culture. It doesn't matter. The mm-hmm. point is, leaders are speaking with familiarity. When they're talking, they know what they're going to be saying to the team. They know what message they're going to communicate. They know what the project is about. They know how it fits into the overall vision for the firm mm-hmm. and the team. But the person doesn't have all that same information. Yeah. But the leaders are often assuming that they do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're expecting our staff to have a crystal ball sometimes.
I know, like read your mind.
With the ball.
No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And it's hard to come with an open mind and deliver this information and also understand that they are in their own world. And a lot of times they will miss a lot of what you're communicating to them, because they probably even have like their own problems and thoughts if they're not focusing. And at the same time, yes, they will be taking it through their own experiences. It's very important to understand. So is that what you mean when you say that communication problems in leadership are thinking problems in disguise?
Yes.
That's
quite mm-hmm. often. That is exactly what it all comes down to. I have found, you know, almost without fail, that communication problems are very rarely about somebody not articulating well or not about being transparent. They're quite often about assumptions that are made and just lacking in that clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes it's almost a little bit of laziness of not wanting to maybe get to know your people, ask those questions ahead of time, do a little bit of homework. And this is just easier to, hey, okay, this is what I think, this is it. And yeah. Dump it on people and expect them to just take it.
Well, and I think in business, you know, we're at a very interesting crossroads right now, right? There's been some really major changes in the way we do business just in my lifetime. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about things like when I started my career, the internet was in its infancy. Okay. And now we're talking about how AI is going to change the workplace. To say that we've seen a few changes is an understatement, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of the old advice about how leaders are supposed to be at the top and how they're supposed to, for lack of a better way of saying it, talk down to their mm-hmm. staff and push that message down. And the fact that we always talk about pushing it down is in and of itself derogatory.
Yeah.
And because of that, I think what happens is that, you know, leaders forget that confident communication isn't about sounding important. Okay. It's about reducing the confusion and improving the clarity. And so when they try to fit into the old school modes of the way it's always been done, and the business advice that we were given from the 1950s to the 1980s and even the 1990s, it doesn't align with the way the later Gen X, the millennials, and so on and so forth, Gen Alpha, everybody after that has been taught to communicate. Mm-hmm. So now we're at an interesting crossroads where we have leadership has been told to communicate this way for 40, 50, 70 years, you know, depending on which methodology we're looking at. And yet we have 2 to 3 generations of workers in the workforce already and more to come that have been taught to communicate completely differently on an interpersonal level.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's all about emotional intelligence now. And I remember when that became a thing. I remember mm-hmm. when it wasn't really a thing and then how it started shifting little by little. Yeah. I don't know what, like 15 years ago? Do you remember?
Yeah. I would argue that? You're 20? Probably right on point with that. Yeah. It's because we kind of went from the staff needs to just follow the leader and forget about thinking to mm-hmm. the leader needs to understand how to communicate to the staff. And that has definitely happened within the last 15 to 25 years, that's become a lot more prevalent in more and more industries. And mm-hmm. we're still seeing a slow shift because that's going to take us decades to shift that.
Yes, that's true. And yeah. still there are people who are, you know, like oldies in the yeah. leadership who will stick Absolutely. To their guns
yeah. and
really would not want to let that go.
It's but, so mm-hmm. true. And you know what's mm-hmm. interesting, Natasha, is that I see it a lot, believe it or not, with people who are in their first leadership role. You know, they're just walking into leadership and they do all the right things. They go out and they read all the books. They watch the videos and everything else about how to be a leader. And yeah. they're watching stuff that's 20, 30, 40, 50 years old. And they're immediately putting themselves into a bad spot. You know, that's why I think like shows like what you're doing here are so important because they give people that chance to realize that it doesn't have to be the way it was done, you know, in 1970.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. It's a different era. I mean, come on. This is a whole new world that we live in.
Right. With... And it's going to continue to change.
Yes. Yeah. It's yeah. like scary and exciting when you think about it.
It is.
With AI, with robots doing the work and doing the things and walking mm-hmm. outside and fighting wars and stuff like that. So it's all totally different. We yeah. live in the future, basically.
We do.
Yes. And so all of that, and we talked about clarity, right? So clarity and yeah. alignment. But a very important word here that I know you also teach is trust. And this is something, all this emotional intelligence, all of that, and not just talking down, but being kind of on the same level, that's what builds trust. What else would you say is important for leaders to build trust with their staff?
So as far as trust goes, I mean, there's so many different angles we could look at it from. Obviously, the clarity and having it be aligned with the vision, the strategic vision and the moral vision of the company, right? Because if there's a misalignment between what you say versus what you do, the trust mm-hmm. is never going to be there with your customers, with your staff, or anything, right?
Yeah.
And so that's really the big primary component is knowing where you're starting from. And I think that's one thing a lot of people are missing is they don't have a good grasp of what their foundation is. Mm-hmm. And without that foundation, how do you build the trust, right? Because if your team can trust in the decisions you're making, the direction that you're leading them in and whatnot, they can then actually magnify your impact, right? Your team ends up taking your energy and distributing it for you is really what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. But then it goes back the other way as well, right? You have to be able to trust your team. If you're constantly micromanaging or making every decision come through you, the problem you run into is that you're becoming a bottleneck and you're actually eroding that trust because mm-hmm. the staff feels like, if you don't trust me to make the decision anyway, why should I put in any effort? And does it really matter if I make a good decision or a bad one? I'll make a quick, easy one because you're going to look at it anyway.
Yeah, and you're going to change it depending on what you think and how you see it.
Based on your mood.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's like, and yes.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's a two-way street.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's not inspiring for people to also become a leader, to practice that decision-making and creativity and this kind of freedom. Because the best leaders raise other leaders. They raise the next generation of leaders. But if they don't, if they keep I know, micromanagement, that's like one of the worst things that I've seen.
And it really is. And you know, it's so funny that you say that, that leaders raise other leaders because... And I don't know who originally coined the phrase, but I've had it said to me many times by some of the best leaders that I've ever worked with. And they always reminded me when I was in like mid-level management and things and I was working my way up, they always said, just remember, you can't move on to the next level until you've trained somebody to be you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely true. And I think even with leadership, it's the same way. You know, you can't step back and focus your energy on the things you actually really love and enjoy. Because mm-hmm. let's be honest, there's some parts of business that we all have to do that we don't love yeah. and enjoy. We want to delegate it.
But absolutely.
You can't do that until you've taught somebody else how to grow into that role. And it's not a growth is not being a duplicative copy of the leader. It's teaching mm-hmm. someone how to think and how to say it, think based on that same value system.
Yes. Yeah. And that value system becomes this mm-hmm. kind of main.
That's the guideline.
The guideline. Yes. The foundation of everything. And then it's easy. You don't have to tell them what to do. Give them the vision, give them the guidelines, and then give them the freedom.
Exactly. And then when there's an mm-hmm. error, the conversation is also a lot easier because instead of you did something wrong, it becomes explain to me why you made that decision.
Mm-hmm,
because mm-hmm. when you say it that way, and it's again very minor tweak, right?
Yeah.
When you say to somebody, why did you make that decision? You can then also pinpoint any misalignment in their thought process to what you would want.
Yeah.
And again, that's how you correct people, that's how you lead people.
Yeah, or not. Or maybe you will hear that that's actually an interesting way of, a different way of doing things. And maybe because that's so Absolutely. Powerful. This phrasing is so powerful. It's like, okay, so explain to me. I don't understand it. Maybe you're right. But so explain to me, why did you decide to make this kind of choice? And let's see if this is actually better, what I thought would be the best, right? I mean, this is humble. It shows humility of a leader, and it shows open-mindedness, and it really gives the opportunity to maybe think differently, because this is thinking outside the box, and you are depriving yourself and your team of some really creative ideas if you shut down. And if because we have limitations in our thinking and in our creativity. And if someone made the decision that you first thought that is crazy, but then they explained it to you and suddenly you're like, oh, that's really cool. That's brilliant.
Some of the best things that we've ever seen in business, and I can speak from my own career personally on this, have come from ideas that seemed absolutely off the wall and just not doable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why I love brainstorming with other mm-hmm. professionals, is because you take the most crazy idea that you think is not achievable, you throw it at the wall, and then you start working your way backwards and saying, can this work? Can this work? Why can't it be better? And we just keep going from there. But those questions like that are so important. And again, you sort of touched on this a little bit, Natasha, but I'd like to emphasize it. It's important in how you ask that same exact question.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying, you know, what was your thought process with an inquisitive tone is, you know, it's humbling. It's not demeaning to the other person. It doesn't make them feel attacked or anything like that. And it allows you to draw out information, good, bad, and otherwise. But if you look at somebody and you say with a harsh tone, well, what was your thought process on that? They're going to feel immediately insulted. They're going to shut down and they're just going to start being defensive about it.
Yes.
Again, it goes back to not just what you say, but how you say it. And that's why you have to know where you're starting from, because you have to know what that foundation is that you want to lead from.
Yes. And ego actually is a big thing here, because a lot of leaders are like, no, hey, okay, this is my view, this is my idea, and we're going to do it this way. But it's sometimes it's hard to see it differently. And this is already speaking with power, right? But you also, so what are the ways that we can speak with power? Since this is also even the name, beyond confidence and delivery.
Yeah. So I think another thing that I wanted to just talk about a little bit today is the confusion that leaders sometimes have between agreement and alignment. And I know we touched on it a little bit, but quite often, leaders will communicate something to staff and the staff will agree with it. And leaders will think, okay, everything's great. Everybody said yes. Everybody nodded. Everybody's agreed to stay, you know, within the lanes. Okay. But agreement and alignment are two different things. Agreement is following the rules to the best you can at that moment. Okay. Or it's just being a yes man or a yes woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's its worst case scenario. And those things don't really do anything, because nodding yes or no is not understanding. It is, I understand the phrase you said, not how it applies to the business and the business's vision. Mm-hmm. And that's the big difference between agreement and alignment. You know, saying yes or nodding and all those positive things means I heard you and I think I understand you. It doesn't mean that you're aligned with what's the purpose? What's the why? Why are we doing this way? Why are we working on this project? Why are we implementing this tool? Why are we making this change? That's where the alignment comes in. And so mm-hmm. when leaders confuse agreement with alignment, again, it goes back to those same problems we already talked about, right? Like, how do you get everybody on board if everybody's on a different page?
Yeah, yeah. And the quality will suffer. Because people could exactly. agree. If they're yeah. not aligned, if they're only in agreement, like you're saying, then they will do their work and they maybe they will do it okay. They will do it fine. But there won't be that excitement. There won't be that commitment to
there
really...
There won't be innovation.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly,
you're right.
Right? Like, there's a big difference between going in, punching the clock, doing your job, which is great. You know, there's a lot of people that that's all they want out of life, and that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And businesses need people like that. But businesses also need people who are going to look at it, challenge it, question it, and say, why can't we be better? Mm-hmm. Because when you say, why can't we be better, that's where the business starts to scale.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. Is that why you have your methodology? That's how you arrived at this STAR scalability method? What is that method?
So STAR scalability was me sort of eventually, you know, coming to a lot of these realizations through life, if you will. And I organized a lot of these patterns that we've talked about into the STAR scalability method. And STAR stands for strategy, team, assets, and rewards. But it's a diagnostic tool. So it's a little bit different than what most coaching methodologies are. Because what you're going to find with most coaching methodologies is that they come in and they say, if you follow these steps, your business is going to be successful. And they try to force everybody into the box. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the square peg in the round hole kind of thing. STAR is a little different. STAR is a diagnostic tool to figure out where the alignment is off in your strategy, your team, all your assets, which is, you know, everything from your tech to your proprietary knowledge, you name it, and then your reward system. Because your mm-hmm. strategy is what's going to, you know, direct your energy. Your team is going to help distribute that. The assets multiply the effects of it, but the reward system sustain it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what STAR is all about.
Well, we haven't talked about reward system at all. So what would you say is the most effective, the best kind of reward system?
Well, the reward system is very individualized based on the business, the values, and of course, the people. Okay. And I always say rewards, not results, because results can be negative. And we all know, I mean, this is psychology 101 or if you're like me, a neuro-linguistic programming practitioner, NLP 101, you're going to find that anything you focus on, you're going to get. Mm-hmm. So if you're focusing on negative results, you're going to breed more negative results. You're not going to get positive by focusing on negative.
Mm-hmm,
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Rewards are the things that sustain the business. So to get back to your question, Natasha, rewards don't have to be something grand like, you know, $50,000 bonuses or anything like that. Okay. You want to reward the behaviors that move the business forward. So, for example, if you are delegating something to somebody and you want them to follow a certain decision process when they are making decisions without you, you want to put reward systems in place that reward them following that decision process, not the mm-hmm. result. If you're putting in something operationally and that falls more into the assets area for like a tech tool or a process, for example,
mm-hmm.
you want to build rewards in place that are going to reinforce people making the decisions, using the tools, the way the process is outlined, following the procedures. You want to build in rewards along the way and not just some big end of the year, everybody met their goal or they didn't meet their goal.
Yeah, okay. Performance evaluation.
Rewards aren't always monetary, you know? Mm-hmm. This comes back to being a leader and having to understand your team a little bit more. Again, we have a higher level of responsibility. Some mm-hmm. people love to be recognized publicly. Some people hate it, right?
Yeah.
If you got somebody that loves to be recognized publicly, man, you applaud for them in the next team meeting. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If you got somebody that hates that, though, you have the one-on-one conversation, okay? And if you're not sure, you can even say in a one-on-one conversation, hey, I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but I'd like to acknowledge you in front of the team. Is that okay?
Yes, exactly. Ask
you know?
Them.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I think leaders get hung up a lot in the reward system is that they always focus on results and they focus on monetary rewards only. And monetary rewards are only part of the process and part of the picture. Sometimes that reward is more responsibility. It's trying new things. It's taking on, you know, a new role in the company. There's a nearly endless list of things we can talk about from a reward standpoint, depending on the business.
Yes, absolutely. Like giving them, for some people, it's learning also, giving them the opportunity to go to a conference. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Sometimes that kind of travel is really rewarding. Yes. Well, this is all fantastic. And we've talked about so much. I'm not letting you go yet. I will ask you my favorite question. But before that, where do we find you, Joe? Where will you invite people first?
Well, I will say this. I think that LinkedIn is probably the best place to connect with me. I share a lot of content there about leadership, clarity, communication, sustainable growth practices, and so on. And, you know, if you're leading a business, I would say definitely follow me on LinkedIn. However, I'm on all the social platforms, and the easiest way to find me, because I know my last name can be a little tricky for some people to spell, is to just go to jpcoachingnow.com. And from there, you can find all of my socials, my direct phone number and email address, and any other means of communication you could possibly think of, including links to the books I've written, the articles I've written, and more.
Yes, perfect. And we will put all those links in the show notes.
Great, thank you.
And people can find it and connect with you everywhere they can. So now I would love for you to imagine that you're on a stage and the whole world is listening to you somehow. That became possible. And you have 60 seconds. What will you say to the world?
I think the first thing I would say is that most communication problems in organizations are clarity and alignment problems in disguise. And that leaders often confuse results with reward systems that move their businesses forward.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. You've just now condensed a lot of things that we discussed into this one statement. Exactly. That's good.
It all comes back to the basics. It really does.
Exactly, yes.
But those and are a lot the hardest things to keep our hands on.
That's true. Yes, and we forget about those things. Thank you so much, Joe. Thank you. And for all of you, my dear friends, go to the links in the show notes. It would be easier for you than for us right now to pronounce the name. And you go to LinkedIn and Joe's website and all the social media. Connect with him, learn from him. And also remember, you have a message in your heart. So go out there into the world, share it, and always, always speak with power.